The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
I've always wanted to know, was Saul on the road to Damascus, who became Paul, actually saved there on the roadside? Or was it 3 days later with Ananias? Well, stay tuned. I'm going to get my answer today. This is Grace in Focus, which is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're very happy that you're joining us today. And we hope you'll make it a habit to join us each weekday for this program. The Grace Evangelical Society offices in North Texas, and we are a focused free grace ministry. Find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. There you'll find many articles that you can read and our bookstore. Highly suggested is Bob Wilkins' latest book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. We also have a subscription-free magazine, very nicely done, and an online seminary. Find out about it all at our website, once again, faithalone.org. Now with our question and answer discussion of the day, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Hi, Bob. We have a question here today from Dale, and he writes, was Paul saved on the road or 2 or 3 days later?
He's talking about Saul of Tarsus, right, on the road to Damascus.
Yeah.
Or was it 3 days later when he meets with Ananias?
Yeah, and he says, why the length of time between the on-the-road experience if he was saved there? And also,
it's 3 days later when Ananias
comes and
talks to him.
And then also, Paul would be filled with the Holy Spirit. So wouldn't this be referring to receiving the Spirit when Paul actually believed? And also, like, Paul's sins were washed away on the road. Why would he need this again as connected to baptism? So there's a number of things going on here, and I think it'd be helpful first we kind of start reading through the passage and getting a sense of what's going on.
Yeah, three times in the book of Acts, Paul gives his own testimony. Acts chapter 9, in Acts chapter 22, and Acts chapter 26. And in each case, he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, talks with him. And he struck blind, and then 3 days later, Ananias, who's a believer, is told to go meet with Saul and to restore his sight and to talk with him. In these three cases, he calls him Brother Saul, tells him to receive the Holy Spirit, tells him to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins by calling on the name of the Lord. And so you have some things here which has led to the kind of questions that Dale is asking. So why don't we start with Acts chapter 9 and read a few verses from there, and then we'll talk about it.
Reading verses 3 through 6. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do?
All right. Notice he says that Paul is persecuting him because when he was persecuting Christians, he was persecuting the body of Christ. So it's the same as persecuting Christ. And then when he reveals himself, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, it is hard and you kick against the goads. The goads were these cattle prods that were used to get the cattle moving in the right direction. What he's saying is, I've been leading you to faith in me all along, and you've been kicking against the goads. Every time he would be arresting Christians, they would be talking to him about Jesus being the Messiah. And then notice Paul's response, or Saul's response. It says, trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? These are clearly the words of someone who believes that this is the risen Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he now believes that Jesus is the Christ. Before, he used to deny that truth, but now he realizes, oh, he was actually persecuting the one who guarantees everlasting life to whoever believes in him.
Right. So therefore, he knows he's born again. Yeah. He knows he has eternal life.
Yeah.
He knows Jesus is the Messiah, and he's ready to serve him. Now, we're going to read a couple other verses in chapter 9.
Reading 13 through 16. This is after now Jesus has told Ananias to go meet Saul, and so that he could receive his sight after, I guess, Jesus has now temporarily blinded Saul. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.
So notice, he doesn't say he will become. Instead, he is a chosen vessel of mine. And he doesn't say if he responds and is born again, then he will bear my name before all these people. Jesus is prophesying about what is actually going to happen. Clearly, Saul is already born again, and Ananias is not evangelizing him.
Yeah, he is right now. He's already been chosen, right?
Right.
To serve.
So let's look also over at chapter 22.
I'll go ahead and read verses 17 and 18 and then read
22. Oh, yeah, from chapter 9?
Yes. Yeah. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized.
Okay, so before we go on to the next one, let me just comment briefly. In the book of Acts, it's a transition book, and people were often born again before they received the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit, and even before they received the forgiveness of sins. See Acts 2:38, for example, or Acts 22:16, or this verse.
Please plan to join us at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas. The Grace Evangelical Society's 2025 National Conference is May 19th through 22nd. Good fun, wonderful fellowship, recreational opportunities for the younger ones and the older ones. Great teaching. Our theme this year is dispensationalism and rewards. VBS for kids, too. More information and early bird registration now at faithalone.org/events. That's faithalone.org/events. Please come and join us.
Lanny Thomas Tanton wrote a couple of journal articles for us. You can go to faithalone.org, one on Acts 2:38 and one on Acts 22:16. And he was formerly a Church of Christ minister or evangelist. He used to teach that baptism was required to be born again. Well, he changed his view, went to Dallas Seminary, and he wrote his master's thesis on those two passages. But no, this is something subsequent to the new birth. If you want another example of this, also look at Acts chapter 8, where Philip leads some Samaritans to faith in Christ, but they don't receive the Spirit until Peter and John come down and lay hands on them.
This is a special situation that applied to Jewish people alive at the time of Jesus Christ, right? The normative experience that happens for us today is what we find with Cornelius, right?
In Acts 10, right.
Right. So, okay, turning over to Acts 22, verse 16, and now this is Ananias. "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord."
Lanny Tanton discusses this as well in his journal articles and his thesis. And basically, we know from Titus 3:5 that there is what's called the washing of regeneration. At the new birth, people are cleansed of their sins. However, that was not true in the very early stages of the church. We know that from Acts 2:38, and we know it from this verse as well. And also, of course, the Samaritans with the laying on of hands. Saul, who is now Paul, was already born again, but he did not yet have this cleansing, and he did not yet have forgiveness, and he had not yet received the Spirit.
Would it be fair to say that he had everlasting life, but he was not yet in fellowship with God? He was in a state of darkness, right?
Literally.
Right. Both spiritually and, yeah.
Yeah, when he restores his sight, this is kind of a metaphor for what happened to him. He now could see spiritually, and he now gained fellowship with God, but it did require him to be baptized.
Right.
He would not have received the forgiveness of sins and the cleansing from sins, and he would not have been filled with the Holy Spirit.
He would have been still out of fellowship with God.
Right.
I guess in this special situation, since he was involved in persecuting Jewish believers,
right,
God required that he be baptized before he would say, "I'm going to be in fellowship with you." Right.
Right. But that was also true in Acts 2:38 with the 3,000 who came to faith on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah. But for us today, at the very first moment of faith, we enter into fellowship with God.
Yeah, right? I like to remember it with ribs, regeneration, indwelling, baptizing, sealing. The Holy Spirit does all four of those things at the moment of faith. But that didn't happen in the very early church. Now that's the normative experience.
Yeah, and it's the normative for us today.
Right.
Even Jewish believers don't have to be baptized before they get into fellowship with God. You know, Acts 26:14-18. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness of both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me."
Notice those who are sanctified or set apart by faith in me. That includes Saul, the person he's talking to. But there is a 3-day delay during which he is meditating, he is praying, and then the Lord restores his sight. I think all of this fits together to say that he calls him Brother Saul because he was a brother in Christ. And he tells him to be baptized, to be filled with the Spirit, and to have his sins cleansed and forgiven, because that was something subsequent for Jews who had been involved in crucifying the Messiah or persecuting Christians. And finally, let's look at one other verse, Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12.
"But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ."
So if Ananias is the one who led him to faith in Christ, then Galatians 1:12 is a lie.
Yeah.
Ananias would have led him to faith in Christ, and he would have received his gospel from Ananias, not directly from Jesus. So he received it from Jesus on the road to Damascus. Now, it is true that later when he was in Arabia, the Lord met with him further and discipled him. But he came to faith on the road to Damascus, and that's when he was born again. So what Dale's basically asking are dispensational questions about how God has dealt differently with people over time. And Acts is a transition book, and during the early chapters, and of course in case of Paul telling his testimony 3 times, it's all throughout the book, we find that there's a transition in the way things occur. But by Acts 10... now we have the situation we have today, the moment of faith, regeneration, indwelling, baptizing, sealing.
Yeah, and how Paul received everlasting life was the same way everyone has always received it. Believe in Jesus for the free gift of everlasting life.
Right. Well, thanks so much, Dale, and thank you all. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
I invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. On our next episode, are all believers led by the Spirit? Or how can one live in the leading of the Holy Spirit? Let's talk about it when we get back together. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.